we tried to find perfect peace. We finally found it in the one that there is none like him. Amen. What an honor it is to be in the presence of the Lord tonight, to worship him in spirit and in truth. Praise God. We're going to dismiss our children for children's church on this Bible study night. God bless the teachers. God bless our little landmark people. Praise God. You folks have these children, and Landmark is notorious. You have these children. And I've told several of you, I said, if you're going to go through the trouble to have more children, have one that looks a little different from the other one. You can look at the children and tell exactly who their mom and dad is because all the children look just alike. Well, there's nothing wrong with that because our children are beautiful. Amen. While you're standing, why don't we focus our attention on John chapter 14, verses 25 through 27. And I really don't know how much Bible study it will be, but I just know that I want to talk to you tonight. Amen. I think I might be able to help someone from the word of the Lord. If you would just open your heart, mind, and spirit. I don't think we'll go very scholarly here tonight. And I know that revelation comes with the word. Amen. And I know information comes with the word, but maybe tonight we come with a little inspiration. Amen. All right, let's look at the word. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, everybody say the Holy Ghost, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Everybody shout peace. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. I leave with you peace. I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Everybody say his. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why? Because peace I leave with you. Amen. Never would have guessed it, but I'm going to talk about peace. Why don't we go to the Lord in prayer for just a moment and ask the Lord to help us receive whatever we might need from the word tonight. Jesus, we love you, lift you. We do thank you, and we do praise you and honor you. We thank you for the privilege and opportunity to stand before your very presence and to deliver this wonderful word of God. We ask you that you would anoint it to us and let us walk in the Holy Ghost tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, somebody shout amen. God richly bless you as you're seated just now. Amen. Brother Tyre, am I correct that we're going to order the seats, the chairs this week? This week the chairs will be ordered for the new sanctuary. We're trying to have Easter in there. Somebody say in Jesus' name. Praise God. All right. Now, I just want to talk about the subject of peace. And I know that much elaboration could go on about the subject of peace. But I really want to get just very practical with you tonight. And I just want to talk to you tonight. And I'm reminded of a scripture, I believe it was in Isaiah, that says, come now and let us reason together. And it's almost like Isaiah had a bunch of children, and he said, just get downstairs here, and let's all just sit down, and let me just talk to you. And so I feel that kind of setting here tonight. And what I have to share with you is not infinite. And you know, I mean, you don't have to bend an ear so far until you're disappointed. But I'm just going to tell you this. I believe that the Spirit, with the Word, wants to minister peace to somebody tonight in Jesus' name. Now, without showing hands, I'm sure that there's someone here that needs a little peace, a little comfort, a little help, and a little more hope. And I want you to walk away with it from this Bible study tonight. Amen. Now, if we are going to retain peace, then a good place to start is with never locking the door to the upper room. Don't you ever lock the door to the upper room. Amen. Now you say, where is the upper room? The upper room is anywhere you choose to talk to your God in devotion. Wherever you choose to communicate with your Savior. Amen. And so I'm challenging us. Now, the world is in trouble. And if we're not careful, we can get sucked up into that vacuum of trouble that the world is in, that turmoil everywhere. And the only way that we can stand alone and stand out and away from all of that turbulence is in our upper room. Amen. Do not let the upper room be an experience that you constantly read about in the book of Acts. That upper room experience took place so that you and I could have our personal upper room experience anytime we need it. One of the greatest things that happens here at Landmark is when someone finds the upper room for themselves around this altar. We had a young man just this past Sunday that found his upper room when he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you tonight, your upper room experience is your Holy Ghost and keeping that relationship with the Spirit fresh every single day. We wake up knowing what we think we need when God may say, you need something different than that. So what we do is communicate with Him to get on the same page with Him so He can give us what we need. Amen. And so, bottom line is that without the Holy Ghost, we're lost. Without the Spirit of God, we are a lost soul. Amen. And so, I feel like it's my responsibility not to grieve it, not to leave it, but to love it. I love this Holy Ghost that I have. Amen. Now, I watch some of you worship, and I love the way that there's such a diversity of worship and praise in our church. And some are so different. Amen. And I could call your name, but I don't want to embarrass anybody. But there are some that when the Holy Ghost hits you, you run wide open. And I immediately, when I see you do that, I watch for the kids. And I want to say, incoming. And we open the doors so you can have room out there. We want that to happen. And then others, I'm just going to say it like Brother Paul here on the front row. He just steps out and just starts worshiping God and loving Him. And I think, look at that. That's just awesome. Amen. And then others, while they're running and some are leaping for joy, you've got crocodile tears just running down. And that is nothing but praise, nothing but worship. I'm not asking you to do it like everybody else does it. But whatever you do, when the Holy Ghost moves, respond. Respond. Amen. That's your Sunday. When the Holy Ghost is moving on somebody else, that's your Sunday as well. That's your time. That's your victory. That's your anointing. Don't let those moments pass you by. You say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. No, and I don't want to know because I'm going through enough stuff myself. But I'm telling you, God knows. He understands. He wants to help. He's a God that sticks closer than a brother, a mother, a father, or anyone else. And so He knows. But, hey, He's a perfect gentleman, and He's knocking on the door. And if we can open it up and just fall in love with the Spirit of God and get into that place, don't lock the door to the upper room. And I promise you, you will know peace more often. And so, if let me just say this: without the Holy Ghost, we're just we'll chicken out. You got to believe that, because that's Bible. The Bible explicitly lets us know that if you don't entertain the Spirit of God in you, shake it up, stir it up, then you're going to chicken out. Amen. The evening before the crucifixion, Simon Peter, that great preacher for the future, he went from gutsy to gutless in a matter of moments. Why? No Holy Ghost. No Holy Ghost. He chickened out just before the rooster crowed. So it was chicken to chicken. And that's why every preacher in the universe loves to eat chicken. It's a vengeance thing. But I'm just telling you tonight, without the Holy Ghost, we're not going to make it. We can contrive, we can make reason, we can make excuse, but there's something innate in us when we entertain the Spirit of God that no matter what, we're going. No matter what, we're going to get there. No matter what, we're going to do this. Amen. I'm not going to make a reason why I can't. I'm telling the devil why I'm going to, whether he likes it or not. That's entertaining the Spirit. That's entertaining the anointing, and that's entertaining the overcoming power of Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, "This peace I give unto you, not like the world gives unto you." Amen. Amen. We don't do things for God just because we feel good. We don't do things for God that day just because the timing is right and there's nothing else on the agenda or you know, hey, we don't put him around the wheel. He's the center of the wheel. And other things, that the mall has to fit and going other places has to fit. Amen. But you're not going to get in the schedule of my living for God and serving the Lord and lifting up the name of Jesus and my upper room. Praise God. And so we want peace. And I want to tell you how to have it here tonight. Amen. So your upper room will help you keep a grip on God. That's where your grip on God is. Amen. Hallelujah. I have, you have, we all have. We've come into the church weak as water. And then leave that very same service and feel like we could attack hell with just a cup of water. Where did that come from? It comes from the Holy Ghost every single time. Amen. So, response needs to be like that doctor tapping you on the kneecap. You know, you can't help it. Your leg just shoots out. If you're like me, sometimes you say, "I'm not going to do it this time. I'm not going to." And he'll tap it, and my leg will go out every time. And I'm like, psst. You know, you just have no control. Praise God. And that's where we need to get with our Holy Ghost. Amen. We need to get out of control. We need to get to where he has the control. And I'm telling you, that perfect peace that passes all understanding will come to you. How many of you could use a little more? My hand up first. All right. Your upper room is going to keep your grip on God. Amen. Again, it's not worldly peace. Amen. Worldly peace is a part-time peace. Worldly peace is a plastic peace. It's shallow. It's frivolous. It's that loaves and fishes peace. As long as the loaves and fishes are flowing, then there's peace. But the moment I have to sacrifice, but the moment I have to suffer, there's no more peace. And I give up. That's worldly peace. But godly peace that comes from the Holy Ghost says, no matter what, I'm doing this. And it gives you the ability to do this no matter what. Amen. Praise God. It's grit. It's gut. It's determination. Amen. And that's what godly peace is. Amen. He gives peace that passes all understanding. You'll wake up with peace in your heart and mind and soul and won't have money or won't have enough groceries or not be able to pay the bills that month. But somehow, some way, there's peace. That's peace that the world doesn't understand and the world can't comprehend it, because the world can't give it to you and the world can't take it away. Amen. Amen. All this, I guess, grew out of involvements today and things I heard and read today and all of that. I set up a meeting with one of the carpet companies. We've got three companies, and I just kind of want to get an estimate from them for our church. And once I get them all trying to figure out how much they're going to charge me, then I'll just drop them in a pit, and the one that wins comes out, gets the job. And so, but the third one came today, and from Creative Carpet down here on Raleigh Road. And one of the first things he told me today was, I know about you guys. He began to name people in the church he knew. And I thought, that is absolutely awesome. They're great people. He said, they are great people. And he said, but I know about you guys. And he said, I've heard about you through the years. And he said, so how long? And man, we left the subject of carpet, and he talked my head off about this church. And I was so glad to be able to share. And when it was all said and done, we were walking away, and I was going to leave him to measure everything. He looked at me and he said, I'm coming to one of your prayer meetings. He did. He said, I'm coming to one of your Saturday nights. And I thought, how kind of strange, you know. I mean, I thought he would come like Sunday morning when everybody goes to church, or Sunday night, you know, when most everybody goes to church, or Tuesday night when some people go to church. And I thought, I took a moment to be pastor. But he didn't say anything about all of that. He said, I'm coming to one of your Saturday night prayer meetings. And so that lets me know that there's a hunger out there in people to have greater peace. And they're connecting to what brings great peace. Amen. Now, we celebrate. We have church and we worship God. And I understand worship brings peace. All of that, everything we do, you know. I love the fellowship, I love the family, I love the friends, and I love all of that. And that's great peace. I love that. The harmony, the unity. Amen. We could talk, like I said earlier, we could talk about all these things for a long time. Amen. But he went directly to the point, as if he said, I know what's going to bring me peace. I want to come to one of your prayer meetings. My point is, if a stranger feels that about our church, then every one of us ought to feel that about our church. I want you to have peace, sometimes more so than yourself. And I know that there are people that can get like my sister. You hear about my sister all the time. Amen. You try to help her have peace, but she don't want peace. She loves misery. I've got to the point before, I've raised my voice at her and said, why are you like this? I don't know. She's a sweet soul. But if we're going to have peace, first thing we got to get is the want to for peace. We got to want it. We've got to desire it. We can sit in my office all night long, but I'm not going to talk you into having great peace until you want. And then your connection to your Holy Ghost will bring it. Amen. And so that's what the carpet guy said today. He said, I know about you guys. He stepped into the church. He said, whoa. I looked at him. He said, this is exciting. I thought, yeah. Kind of think so myself. But a stranger, complete stranger. All I knew was Donnie. I don't even know his last name. And he said, he said it two or three times. He said, this is exciting. And I thought, it's not going to be exciting when he finds out he's got to climb that 14-foot ladder to get up there and measure it. I said, Donnie, are you good to climb the ladder? He said, let's go, man. This is exciting. And And so I got to talk to him about it. And he said, I feel excitement in here. And you know, he just let me know, I want to come on one of your prayer nights. He said, Jesus said, peace I give, not what the world gives. Amen. And so that's why I was glad today when the clock finally told me, get up and let us go to the house of the Lord. There's never a debate whether I'm going to church or not. There's never a decision as to whether I am going to be in the house of God or not. We need to eliminate that. Amen. Hey, let the church be the church and you be a part of that church. What is the debate? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm sick. Get here and be healed. I've got this problem. We've seen cancers healed. We've seen people come out of comas. Amen. We've had people come to church and they say, preacher, I'll come, and I don't want a bunch of attention, but I'm going to have to sit in a lawn chair thing because of the situation, the pain and everything I'm going through. And we'd set them in the back and put them in that, and then a third of the way into the service, they're up running the aisles. Don't let the devil keep you from the next level. And don't let him keep you from your healing. Don't let him keep you from your deliverance. Amen. But let him know, hey, I was glad when the clock said it's time to get ready for church. When the clock said, hey, it's time to get up and go. It's church time. It's time to go worship. It's time to go magnify the name of the Lord and be with friends that worship the Lord. You need peace. You need peace. And I'm sharing with you the way to obtain it. Amen. And so there was this hippie movement. I came up through that movement. You all have heard my story. And it was peace, love, and joy. And I think about a third of the hippies made it out of that generation because of so much peace, love, and joy. They never really found the real peace, the real love, and the real joy. And so, man, there was facial hair, there was long hair, there was hair everywhere. There was drugs, there was alcohol, pot. Everything about it was illicit. Everything about it was against God. Everything about it was rebellion against the church and against authority and all of that. It was a hate against war. I hate war as well, but there are wars and there are fights to fight. If you don't believe that, you're not living a life at all. Amen. It was a hate against war. It was spit on the soldiers when they come back from Vietnam and they step off the plane. There's no respect and no honor whatsoever. And so it is. It's the same attitude. It's the same spirit today that's against progress of America right now. Amen. When you got a Madonna cussing out the CIA and cussing at the president and wanting to bomb the White House, and all because she wants her rights and she wants to do what she wants to do and be what she wants to be. And who wants to live like Madonna? I don't want to live like Madonna. She's been in a fantasy for a long time. And it upsets me to think that she wants to dictate to me how I should live when we've already got standards, we've already got our rules, and we've already got our rights and what's wrong. And so far, they've worked. Amen. I don't want some rock star trying to tell me how to live because they don't have a clue. One rock star recently said, he was interviewed, he said, my Lord, he said, if I'd known I was going to live this long, I would have lived better. He didn't even think he was going to live as long as he lived. And so here she is, and, and maybe she'll be locked up. You don't get up there and say, I want to bomb the White House. Who are you? And all that. And it says all, it's what they're saying is, it's all about me. It's all about what I want, what I think I deserve. It's all about me. Well, I learned that coming out of all of that in the 70s, that the more you care for others, the more God takes care of you. Because if there's anything missing in the kingdom of God, or in our nation or around the world, it is people that care about others. Here she is caring about herself when it's others that put her where she's at. So why don't you take all of that and begin to nurture others? If it don't fit for you here, go to Australia or somewhere. But this is America, and that's what it will always be. And as long as the church continues to pray, that's what it will stay. Amen. Praise God. And so, I didn't need a broken cross. How many of you remember the little peace sign? That's a broken cross. That's a cross in there. And the arms of the cross fell down. It's a rebellion. It's against everything that there is about God. It's against the church. And Jesus said, this peace I give you, not as the world gives you. I don't need a medallion with a peace sign on it. I don't need this. That doesn't do anything for me. Except when I get somebody mad with road rage. I can't talk to them, but I can go like that. Hope it works and they don't shoot me. But I don't need that. I need God to bring me peace. I need the church to bring me peace. I need my church family to bring me peace. I need His presence to bring me peace. I know where peace comes from now. And it comes from above. Praise God. And so I don't need that broken cross. Amen. I need the peace of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let me give you a little point with an experiment here. Amen. I'm going to make you feel such sweet peace. Are you ready for this? This is my punchline here tonight. Amen. How many of you want to feel peace? All right. I'm going to make you feel peace. And when I do, I want you to remember it. And I want you to go. And I want you to duplicate it. Because as often as you duplicate it, you're going to feel peace. You ready? I told you it's going to be simple, so here we go. It'll be peace every time. Every time. So the little girl was late getting home. I think maybe she was next door playing with her little friend. And mom told her a certain time she needed to get across that yard and get in this house. That day she was very late, very late. Her mom was getting upset to the point that she was just going to have to go over and find out what's going on. And finally, the little girl came walking in. And her mom said, "Where have you been? I've been worried about you. You're 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever. You're late." And the little girl kindly explained to her mother. She said, she named her little friend, and she said, her doll broke. And her mom, she softened up a little more, and she said, so her doll broke? And the little girl said, yes. And she said, so you stayed and helped her fix her doll? And the little girl said, no. She said, I just sat down with her, and I cried with her. What? Aww. What did you feel just then? Aww. Sometimes if we can just find them, sometimes if we can just locate them, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing or feeling, Sometimes if we can just find them and come up beside them, even if we don't have the answer, and maybe just weep with them and just cry with them, helping them to know you have got a friend. We're not here to bash you and beat you and knock you down and make it worse than it already is. I may not be able to help you, but I can cry with you. How many of you feel the peace? When it's not about us, and we're willing to share with others and help others, minister to others, be obedient to God a little bit more, and all of a sudden, peace begins to trickle to us because of what's going out. Amen. Somebody shout peace. Amen. Praise God. That little girl, as young as she was, understood the definition of peace. Amen. Todd Hunt shared a story with me today, and I told him before service, I said, thank you for helping me with the Bible study tonight. And but he found out that his secretary's house got broken into, I think it was last night. And when she and her 7-year-old son got home and saw all of that, that the house was broken into and all of that, the first thing the little boy said was, I hope they didn't get our Bibles. What? What'd you feel? Oh, that's so sweet. That was so peaceful feeling. That little boy didn't worry about his bicycle, didn't worry about his clothes, didn't worry about anything, didn't worry about food, electricity, bills. First thing he thought about was, I hope they didn't get the Word of God, because that Word of God is what brings us peace in this house. Somehow that little boy understood what brings, everybody say it, peace. Praise God. Let's stand together. I hope the world never gets our Holy Ghost, because if it does, it'll get our peace. Hope the world never gets my church. I hope the world never gets my Bible. And I hope the world never gets my love of God, because if it ever does, it'll have my peace. Amen. I think we already know what brings us peace. But as myself today, and along with you tonight, sometimes we just got to be reminded where true peace really comes from. So why don't we lift our hands and worship the Lord for the peace that passes all understanding, and the goodness and mercy of Almighty God. Amen. Men, would you lift your voice? Ladies, young people, hallelujah. Thank God for friends, family. Thank God for relationships. But most importantly, thank God for His perfect peace. Not peace that the world gives, but the peace that He gives in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 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 So as the Lord would say from the Word of God, go in peace. God bless you tonight. Thank you for being here at Bible study. Amen.